Get hydrated.
Get hydrated. Sound like a 90s special water campaign. Get hydrated. Hydrate. Extreme.
Or dehydrate.
Hydrate or you'll dehydrate is excellent. Yeah.
Hello, friends and fiends. Welcome to Bugs Need Heroes, a podcast where an entomologist and an artist team up to illustrate the inspiring abilities of insects by creating bug-themed superheroes. I'm Amanda.
I'm Kelly.
Producer Derek and Desdemona are also here. Before we get started creating this bug-inspired hero, what's bugging you, Kelly?
Oh, Amanda, that was so gentle and soothing this morning.
I'm listening to classical music on Bugs Need Heroes today.
It is very cold and dry here in the Northeast.
Very cold and wet here in the Pacific Northwest.
it's so dry. I've got like chapstick and I have my Sol de Janeiro spider lotion.
Your wolf spider cream will rehydrate you.
And just rehydrated my hands with it and I hope all the wolf spiders come out to greet me while I'm doing this. But
can you imagine? Yeah, it's cold like you and like dry. You looked away to like read a book or whatever it is that you're doing. Look away. You look back at your hands on your laptop, where I assume you're typing away at all times, and yeah, just spiders on each hand.
Just sitting on the back of my hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They are like the baby spiders on their wolf mother's back. You have become their mother now.
It is. That would be something. I think even I would be a little startled. As long as it's not like 250 plus baby wolf spiders on my hands, like those.
You want few enough that you could name them all individually.
Yeah, and not have a repeat name or not have to think real hard about it. Yeah. You know.
You want like four or five.
They'd all be W names because they're wolf spiders, like Wally.
Yes, perfect. Wally and Wilbur.
Yeah.
And Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire, yeah. Oh, little baby Worcestershire is here. Welcome.
Come on. Come on back.
Oh, Waluigi, producer Derek.
Welcome, Wally. Of course, Waluigi. It always shocks me that we haven't gotten a Waluigi video game yet.
Like, oh, man. Yeah.
Let the people have what they want.
What's bugging you, Amanda? Anything?
Oh, my life is riddled with tiny inconveniences that are bothering me at any moment of any day.
Tiny inconveniences.
That's, you know, it's all pretty good. You, like me, have a spicy
I do like you very much.
What a play on words you've sprung upon me. But similar to me, I have a spicy brain, a neurospicy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I changed shampoos and it was a mistake because now my hair is wrong and I hate it. So that's what's bothering me.
I understand that feeling. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has a dry shampoo sensation at all times. And it feels, I know it's not because I brush it every single day, but it feels like it's matted because of the way the shampoo has like interacted with itself. And I've now tried to wash it out and that hasn't worked. So I think I'm just...
It's not just not washing out properly?
It's just not washing out properly.
Oh, I hate that.
It's just in there.
Yeah.
And my sensory overload is overloading about the, like, my hair in particular is a like chronic anxiety issue of mine. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why. I could cite several childhood incidents that scarred me for life, obviously. But it's just like anxiety dreams I have are about like my hair getting caught in stuff, things being caught in my hair, lollipops, honey.
When I was a little kid, my mom cut my hair really short because I didn't want to brush it and I was constantly outside and I'd come home with like leaves and all twigs.
Didn't understand the look you were going for.
Yeah, there. Yeah. Woodland sprites.
My hair got chopped really short because my neighbor got head lice twice.
Ooh, that sucks.
Like she brought it to me. I got head lice. They got rid of their head lice. I got rid of my head lice. And then the neighbor got head lice again. And so my mom was like, I'm not taking any chances with this. Your hair's got to go. Because I've had long hair pretty much my whole life. But I was looking up at the TV. And so my mom cut my hair with my head looking up. And so she cut it significantly shorter than she meant to because my head wasn't in the right spot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 8. So I don't know what's going on.
Know.
But And so then I straighten out my hair and my hair's like chin level. Ooh. And again, my hair has been long my whole life. I was devastated that I had lost my hair, especially because okay, now we're getting, I'm sorry for this therapy session with Amanda. I hope some of this gets caught, just gets cut out of the podcast just so that I'm not a crazy person on the podcast. But, you know, I wasn't a very feminine young girl. I'm still not a very feminine woman, if I'm honest.
Nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Nothing wrong with that. But in the 90s, with my mother who wanted a pretty princess daughter, which she did get with my younger sister. Don't get me wrong. She got what she wanted eventually. But when my mother was dreaming up having a little girl, I wasn't the little girl that she dreamed of. I'm not trying to say, Mom, if you're listening to this, I know you love me very much. She's always listening. I'm not saying that you don't love me and that you love Chelsea more. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I wanted to do what my brother was doing. I wanted to run around. I wanted to do archery, not sewing, et cetera, et cetera. And so long hair became like the one thing about me that I could be like, but I am a girl.
Yeah.
A girl, because I had this long, beautiful hair. And so for it to get shinked off was very, like,
jarring.
Now there's nothing about me.
Again, it's a girl.
All of us needs to go. Because we don't need my hair drama.
Well, I had a similar thing. I'm sure my mom wanted a girly girl. Yeah, and I'm girly not, girl. Not that. Princess. I've never been that. I'm a forest child. And I liked cars and being outside, and I did not like dolls at all. But now, you know, now I'm a little bit more, I would say, feminine. Mm-hmm. Forward.
Did you go through a I hate the color pink phase?
Yes. I still hate the color pink. I don't.
Interesting.
I don't like it. I was more purple. I'm more purple girl. Mm-hmm. And but I think it's, and I guess this is for the listeners, never let someone tell you that you are not a woman or a man or a whatever because you don't fit into a particular gender norm.
Society, I think, will be a lot better when we all agree that some things are just human behaviors.
Yeah, yeah.
And
don't let these things define you. You don't have to have kids if you don't want them. You don't. That doesn't make you less of a woman. I know that's a lot of woman stuff today, but that's like a thing that happens, you know.
Oh, well, that is a thing that happens.
Less of a fully formed adult, you know. So just, you are what you are, and that's totally fine.
Chase your happy, I guess.
Absolutely fine, yeah.
Point on this. Speaking of chasing happies, what are we chasing down today?
What we're chasing down the interesting, I almost called them lovely, and I guess they are lovely to some folks.
Just some.
The vinegaroon, also called the scorpion. Yes.
Before we continue too far, since you are recording at our parents' house, Amanda, our mom just texted us to ask,
really?
Are you telling hair drama stories?
Yes, she's probably getting ready for church outside. She can hear you.
And she wants you to know that you pulled off that bob haircut like no one else.
This is part of, again, this is all getting cut, but this was part of the story is that, so I had
long
hair.
I don't think it is
hair.
Getting cut.
Oh, no.
I think now that your mom has sent a text, then we have to keep it.
Oh, no. Well, part of the trauma of it was that I had considered this long hair, like the one good feminine thing about me. And then they got the haircut. I was clearly devastated. I don't doubt that both my parents were like, oh, she's not happy about this, right? I have a very expressive face, and I tend to wear my emotions on it. And so I was very clearly not happy about it. And my dad said, wow, it really suits you, I'm sure, to try and make me feel better.
Yeah.
But what 8-year-old traumatized, rejection sensitive me Aww. Heard was being unfeminine is good for you, you know, like
suits you
exactly, that like you've embraced this unfemininity yourself, it suits you, you know. And so all I heard was like, you're not a real girl, you're just an ugly little mud giant.
Oh no. I bet you're so cute too.
You know? I'll send
you a little cutie.
I'll send you some sassy photos of me with the bob, because I'm sure I truly tried to play it off as if I was as confident as
my parents gave me the old bowl cut.
Oh yeah, the old Spock treatment, huh?
Yeah, the old Spock treatment. This is easy. Let's just
do this.
Bowl it up.
I mean, my dad had that same KitchenAid bowl cut from 1970 till he married my mother in the late 80s. Like, there's just no change. Anyway, what'd you call them? Macaroons?
Macaroons.
Macaroons. So,
whip scorpions, or yes. Vinegaroon, or my favorite common name for them, and I couldn't figure out why they're calling them this, Grampus.
Grampus? like a Christmas Krampus? But
that's what it is. Yeah, Grampus. They're sometimes called Grampus, I believe, in southern parts of the United States where they're found.
Wow. Grampus is like the name you call your extremely grumpy grandpa.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's not like your grandpa. He's like your parents' grandpa. And so he's like 102 and you've never seen him leave his rocking chair. He just is like always yelling at the kids from the porch. Like, oh, you got to be quiet. You know, Grampus is asleep. We got to sneak past him to go get our baseball so we can go play in a
field. One of my friend's kids, who my friend's kids all call me and Joe aunt and uncle. We're happy to be their unofficial family. And Joe is a little less tolerant of children than I am. He loves them, but he's not like, you know. So one of our nieces basically started, instead of Uncle Joe, calls him Grumple Joe, which is the funniest thing for a little kid to just come up with. I think she was like 6 or something. Very funny. Now she's like, I don't know, 16? Holy cow. It's been a long time. Mm. Yeah, but Grumple. But that, I guess that kind of reminded me of the Grampus, which is funny. And I'd like to say, before we really get into the whip scorpion, is a big thank you to listener Bailey, who loves these little critters very, very much. And they gave me a little assistance with some of the show notes, which I very much appreciate. And I believe they're going to put a care sheet up on the show notes, the field notes on our website, because these guys are common pets. And we'll talk about why they're pets. Yeah, yeah.
So well, thank you, Bailey. Thank you, Bailey, for being a listener and for...
Friend of the show, Bailey, now.
Friend of the show, Bailey. Oh,
friend of the show, Bailey.
So whip scorpions, in my mind, is the scorpion that doesn't have a obvious tail. It's got that little... I always thought of it as like a rigid pokey thing. But I have no idea, actually, if it's rigid or anything.
It's not really rigid. They can move them around. I think you're probably thinking about them like an ovipositor, right? When we see...
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Like one long stinger. But yeah. I'm realizing now, I think that's because I've only ever seen them in photographs and never, like, in
on
situ.
Move.
Yeah, exactly.
No, so that, you know. That tail is, it's called an antenniform. So whip scorpions are full of sensory systems, like super sensory systems. So they have horrible, horrible eyesight. They have tiny little eyes right in the front. And then a series of about, I think, 5 pairs of eyes going up the back of the cephalothorax.
It's so funny to me when they have like all these eyes and yet they can't see anything. I'm like, why did you bother with all these eyes? And like there's several of them that are like, I compensated because each one's basically blind.
Yeah.
Having 8 of them.
Like, 8 bad eyes.
But maybe get good, Scrub. Okay.
Like, oh, no. The gauntlets have been dropped.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm gonna find whip scorpions in my bed. The last thing I need.
They're gonna come for you. Well, their front pair of eyes is, they can actually see properly out of those, but still not great. And then all those extra pairs of eyes that move up the cephalothorax, and again, the cephalothorax is where the head and the thorax have become fused together.
Right, which is part of why they're arachnids and not insects.
Right? Yeah, they've got two segments instead of three segments for their body plan. And but those extra eyes really just see light and dark. And I think we talked about that with quite a few insects. Ants, yeah. I believe, was one of them. And mason bees.
Yeah.
Cluster of ocelli on the top of the head. So,
and that one iguana that also does it still. Isn't there an iguana that has like an eye on top of its
head? Oh, yeah. I think, was it an iguana? I think there's a couple lizards.
I think it's not even an iguana. It's like older than that. It looks like an iguana to me, but it's technically much older.
Tuatara.
It's a great name. Tuatara.
Great name. I want a Tuatara and a Tortuga.
Tortuga?
To team up.
Well, no matter how much smack you talk about them, Amanda, you will never find them in your bed because you are too far north.
Oh, good.
Much too north.
I'll relax myself then.
You'll be all right. They're not going to send their babies out to get you.
So where are they then? Are they more of a desert? I guess scorpions are very desert.
Well, they're not actual scorpions. So we could start there. No, they're not scorpions. They're arachnids. So they're under that umbrella with scorpions and spiders. But they are not scorpions. Yeah, they're arachnids, like a scorpion and like a spider, but they are their own group. They're their own order. They're their own family. Order Oropigi, which means tail rump in ancient Greek, which is kind of cute. All right, so these are called whip scorpions or vinegaroons. Sometimes whip scorpion refers to another order of arachnid called Schizomyda, and these are short-tailed whip scorpions. Not the same thing, in case listeners are familiar with that particular group. And I know we probably have listeners for this episode who really know whip scorpions because they're, like I said earlier, very common in the pet trade.
So I've always thought of arachnids as like spiders and scorpions. And
much broader than that.
But like, there's like a lot more than that. Like I assumed there was more to it than just the way that like you hear about like amphibians, newts, salamanders, and frogs. I'm like, there's gotta be more than that.
And then there's the complexity of salamanders.
Right. Axolotls, like not quite. No one's really know what's going on with that
guy. They're technically salamanders.
But like they never grow up. They're Peter Pan and all over town. they're only found in like that one pond in the middle of nowhere, Mexico.
The whip scorpion is not, you know, they not like that at least. They grow up, right. They have babies.
He looks like a scorpion, but he's not a scorpion.
Right. He's got pinchums up front, and those are the chelicerae, which we've talked about before with I believe wolf spiders is the mouth parts that formed these claws. Like when you think about a traditional scorpion, but they do not have that stinging tail. They actually don't produce any venom at all. They're harmless for people.
That makes them a lot less scary. I can see why you might be willing to make it a pet if they can. Because that's that scorpion tail, man. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I wouldn't want to keep a real scorpion. I know folks do, but not...
And the scorpions have the big pinchums a lot too. I mean,
that depends on species. So with a regular scorpion, I guess we can have a scorpion episode at some point.
Yeah.
The larger the claws, the less venom in the tail, and the smaller the claws, the more venom in the tail. Yeah.
Interesting. They put their stats on one or the other, not both.
Yeah. They really front load those stats into one piece or the other. I was going to make a D&D joke, and I'm not going to do it now. But our buddies, the vinegaroons, and they're called vinegaroon because they squirt, their self-defense is to squirt out a vinegar-like spray from their butts.
Of course. I will say, it's skunky season here in the PNW. The skunks are out looking for lady wives. Oh. And I drove past... an unfortunately deceased skunk this morning. And let me tell you, it knocks the air out of you. Even just being in the car driving past his unfortunately deceased body, you're just like, that's it for me. it stays with you for so long. And I know that we skunk is one of those things like, oh, it smelled like a skunk. It smelled horrible. I'm like, I think people, until you interact with a skunk,
people forget how bad a skunk really smells. Yeah.
How intense it is. It is so bad. Like
the smell of the vinegaroon spray is pretty awful. Bad. It's harmless. It's not going to hurt you. It just smells really bad.
So is it acidic or is it just vinegar? Yeah,
it's made of an acid. It's like it's 85% acetic acid. So it's quite strong, but you don't want to get it in a cut. So if you had like any cuts and that spray lands in a cut, it's going to be very painful. But they themselves are really not dangerous. So there's a website called the Arachnoboards, which has a lot of hobbyists and professionals and scientists who are very into these guys and also a bunch of others. And they were talking about trying to get them to pinch them. So
this is Dr. Schmidt nonsense.
It reminded me of friend of the pod, Dr. Schmidt, who we love very much, RIP. He's great. They were trying to get them to pinch them. And most people said when they did pinch them, it really felt like nothing. So they're not harmful for people, but they're good pets. They're slow. They're like really slow moving. So you can hold them. I bet they're awesome for outreach purposes.
Right.
Maybe Kevin from All Bugs Go to Kevin might use them in sort of his outreach stuff, because you don't have to worry about them scuttling away.
you can get them where he leaves.
And they're pretty big. They're between one to maybe 3 inches.
Okay, so like a decent size.
Is that too big? So I know you have like a size specifications for how big bugs can be before they make you uncomfortable.
No, I feel like I like that. I think that's a good range. Like you said, he's clearly in my hand.
Yes.
And he's slow enough that he couldn't really get away. Because
he's not a great climber, so he's not going to go up your arm.
Okay. So really, if I had a good friend of this macaroon, because that's absolutely what I would name him if I had one.
Macaroon the vinegaroon?
Macaroon the vinegar. Delicious. I could hold him in my little baby hands, and the odds are he wouldn't try to really go anywhere.
Not really. Yeah, I've never personally held one, but I've seen
little hands. He'd want to stay with me.
Yeah, you're nice and warm. Yeah, just hang out. Why not?
I just keep him on my little platform and let children ask me questions about him in this imaginary world where I'm bug outreaching.
I would love if you were a bug outreach. That'd be great. You'd be so
I would be useless.
No, your enthusiasm would be fantastic.
I'm excited, and so I just learn as much as I can so I can share that excitement.
Well, we'll go out together, and you can be enthused and hold the bug, and I'll just ramble off bug facts. It'll be great.
Perfect. Yeah. Take the show on the road.
Take it on the road.
I was like, I hate to tell you this, Kelly. We're already doing this.
I guess we're already doing this.
Podcast.
Sometimes I forget. I forget what we're doing here.
Other people are listening.
Yes, which I still can't believe. I constantly can't believe anyone is listening to us. I believe they listen to you because you're fantastic. I can't believe anyone's listening to me. So it's nice. Thanks, listeners. We love you. We're grateful. But so if we were to take the show on the road and we wanted to find whip scorpions for our purposes here, it's southwest mostly U.S., including and plus Florida. They're in Florida too. Mexico, South America. There's a few in Africa. Nothing in Europe. And incredibly, and I can't understand why, nothing in Australia. Maybe they're just too nice. I think they're too nice to be in Australia.
They're like, you guys got this covered. We're
Oh, you guys are sweet and people can hold you? No. You're out.
We're not allowed.
Sorry, Australia.
So do they share ranges with scorpions?
Yeah.
Sometimes
eat scorpions. They'll eat a scorpion if they can get their little claws on them. I think the confusion is just they really, from that front, look like a scorpion.
Yeah. I'm looking at pictures now that the producer Derek put in our Discord.
What do you think?
There are very scorpion shaped. Like mm-hmm. if I just saw one scuttling, I'd be like, ah, a scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not until you look at it again and you go, oh, it's not a scorpion. Like his, like you said, his little pinchums in the front aren't really that crabby shape that I associate with scorpions. Yeah. And then obviously the lack of the arching tail. It's got that whip appropriately named.
Do you notice anything else while you're looking at them that looks different than a scorpion?
Two things. First, this one picture that Derek has shared is he's got his little pinchums and a little heart, which is so sweet.
Because he loves Macaroon us. Macaroon
is so sweet. but there's like these long, I want to say the word seti, but I'm sure that's not correct. Maybe
similar purposes.
But it has these long antenna-like,
mm-hmm.
they come out from behind the pinchums. And I assume because of what you said, he must be using them the way sometimes you see an ant like touching everything with its little
yeah.
antenna.
Oh yeah.
So that must be what he uses those for. Is
yeah. No, you're doing me. Great.
Oh my gosh, I'm a bug expert. Someone hand me my degree.
You don't even need me on this podcast anymore. You just get Amanda. Yeah, those are called antenniforms, and they're their front legs. So like I said, these guys are arachnids, so they have 8 legs, but they only walk on 6 of them.
See, this is part of the confusing part, I think, with mm-hmm. this shape, this form. It's like, what counts as a leg and what counts as something else? Because sometimes I look at a spider and I'm like, that guy has 10 legs. I'm sorry. But really, he has 8 legs and then 2 little manipulator arms.
Well, like the pedipalps. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're full of.
I know. I'm on fire today. Everybody look out. Okay. And then so like this guy. Our friend Macaroon has these 2 front pinchums. And then mm-hmm. now you're telling me those aren't legs. Those are something else entirely. Those are pinchums. And then he's got these 2 front legs that have disguised themselves as giant antenna. And then 6 regular boy legs.
But they walk on. Yeah.
Like, what counts as a leg? What doesn't count as a leg?
It's like the platypus of bugs. Like, what is it doing?
Yeah, what?
There's a lot going on there. Yeah.
There's a lot. It's like he took the basic form of scorpion and he was like, I'm going to make some improvements here. I need this to be
way longer.
Get
some spideriness going up front.
This is too scary. Get rid of this tail situation. Pinchums can stay. Eyesight for losers. Aren't they? Yeah. You know?
Well, they make up for the bad eyesight with those long antenna forms. So they're constantly touching everything around them. So vinegaroons prefer to be burrowed. They like to be underground during the day. Don't we all?
caved up. That's what I want.
Caved up. And they come out at night to hunt. So they're nocturnal. And you want all those feelers. You want a lot of feelums so that you know what's going on around you because your eyesight's terrible. When I think about this, I think about cockroaches because cockroaches have long, very long antennae. And when they're moving, they're often moving their antennae very quickly because they're feeling for the area around them.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, and roaches are also nocturnal and very sensitive to light. So it makes sense, I think.
Okay, Uncle Derek, I almost just said. Who's Uncle Derek? Right. Okay. Producer Derek has sent a video where you can see the little touchy action going on. Their pinchums have scooped up a bunch of soil. Mm-hmm. So they're doing some terraforming in their enclosure, I assume.
Yes. Look at how cute it is moving that dirt around.
Like a little bulldozer, just like, murp, murp, murp.
Yeah.
And then using the feeling action to figure out where they're going. I don't want to be insensitive, but it reminds me of like a vision handicapped person using some sort of
device. Like a cane or a... Like a cane.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what they're doing. Yeah, is feeling that. It looks to me, it almost looks like a little like a little crustacean. Like a what am I thinking of? Not a shrimp. Freshwater.
Lobster?
No, freshwater. And small. Oh. Like a crayfish. It kind of looks like a little crayfish or a crawdad, depending on where you're from. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, it's carrying a bunch of dirt, and this This video is on in the All Bugs Go to Kevin and from user Stacy Pretty.
Oh, okay.
Very cool looking. But yeah, so they have this whole interesting, I think, life that you never really think about. Mostly because you see them and you're probably scared because you think it's
a scorpion. Seeing them move, they are less scorpion-like, I think.
Yeah.
They have a little bit more flexibility in their body than I would expect a scorpion to have. A little bit
they
more,
seem more stiff.
Yeah, a little bit, like a little less armored up. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, they still have an exoskeleton because it's crunchy on the outside, gooey on the inside.
Gooey on the inside.
But they seem like less, you know, tankish than a, you know, scorpion's like, chunk, chunk, chunk. But this guy, he's kind of got a little bit of that silverfish action going on the
back. Oh, interesting comparison. Yeah, I could see that.
A little bit more flexible. Yeah.
Pretty cool, right? I mean, I get why people keep them as pets watching a video where they're kind of terraforming their own little enclosure.
Yeah, it's very sweet that he's like, you put this dirt all in the wrong spot. I'm just going to fix this for you. This don't worry. I've got it.
But I will say, I will say that the exotic pet trade, if you're going to get a vinegaroon, like our little friend Macaroon, you should go to a breeder and make sure that breeder is breeding them and not taking them from the wild, because there's all kinds of problems with just stealing wildlife from where they live to make pets.
Let's not do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah, well, a big part of it is we don't know how many species of anything are out there. We just don't know, especially with arthropods, because they're not cute. Most people don't care how many tarantulas there are, how many vinegaroon species there are, how many whatever scorpions, regular scorpions there are. And it's very easy for someone to find an interesting looking arthropod and then take all of them. And then we have nothing in the wild.
Oh,
so it's just, yeah. There have been cases before where a photographer takes like a picture of something interesting and then the pet trade
basically yanks them
into extinction very quickly.
Upsetting.
Or near extinction, yeah.
Especially when we've discussed how region specific a bug can become.
Yes.
Very easily.
That's like, your favorite part of bugs, I think.
It's so funny to me. It's so funny that they're like, oh, those daddy long legs across the river, different than these daddy long legs.
Because they're not going very far.
Yeah. We don't know them. We've never met them. Somebody else.
When you have the daddy long legs reunion, they're not invited.
Yeah. They're like, we don't know her. So. So it'd be very easy. And we referenced the axolotl not that long ago that like they also exist in a very limited space in the wild. And there's like certain kinds of fish that only exist in like one lake, you know, so it'd be very, very easy to be like, they're gone now because
So we have to be very careful when we have pets like this and make sure that we're getting them from good, safe sources who are breeding them and not yanking them.
We need
wild.
To treat all arthropods with the same level of deference as we do purebred dogs. Like we need an American Kennel Club of arthropods.
The puppy mill version of
no puppy mills. We are not allowed to puppy mill vinegaroons. We have to. I need my papers to show that they are 100% purebred from the finest. What are they called?
Vinegaroon breeder.
Vinegaroon studs. These are all the offspring of Macaroon. Fine lineage.
Well, you also don't, if you're a hobbyist and say you're keeping many of these vinegaroons or spiders or whatever interesting arthropod pet you want to keep, if you take something from the wild, you could be introducing all kinds of pathogens and disease to your home collection, which is very dangerous for your pets.
So you like take a fellow from outside, put him with your homebody vigaroons, and like he has mites, and you didn't see the mites,
right. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, everyone has mites.
Now everyone's dead. Yeah,
everyone has to get traumatic haircuts.
everyone's getting a bob. Because
everyone's getting a bob. Oh.
I'm sorry, you're still thinking about that.
I'm always thinking about it. It's always in the back of my mind.
But yeah, so let's make smart choices when we buy our pets, all of our pets, not just our exotic arthropods and make sure we are not harming the ecosystem, harming those populations, harming our pets we already own, etc. And we're giving everyone the deference and respect that they deserve. So, yes. But if you want a vinegaroon, get one. They're kind of cool.
You can find one. Yeah. I'm sure. I just go on we've been shouting out all Bugs Go to Kevin a lot this week, but I'm sure you could just go to Kevin and be like, I want to get one, but I want to be responsible.
Yeah. I believe a friend of the show, Bailey, breeds them. So maybe.
There you go. Maybe you can find Bailey. Contact with Bailey and say, Bailey, I need a macaroon of my own.
Yes.
And I'm sure she'd help you out.
Amanda, what's your favorite flavor of macaroon?
None, because they're bad.
Oh, no. You don't like macaroon?
I feel like macaroons are from a time. First of all, they're French, so they feel a little bit pretentious just to start with.
We love you, French listeners. Don't listen to Amanda.
I love you, French listeners. But the fact is that sometimes you're extra, and I don't think it's offensive to tell you that because I think you already know.
I'm sure they think we're extra as Americans too.
Oh yeah. Oh no. We're not getting into the stereotypes of Americanism that I'm sure I inhabit. So. But macaroons are also made of like almond paste, which when I say I feel like it's from a time before when all you ate was like food you catch yourself. So I'm not talking Doritos. I'm not talking corn dogs. I'm talking.
You think the French are out there in the countryside collecting almonds to make almond paste?
This is my point. To have a macaroon. Macron, you would have to be fancy. Mm. And so in a time before sugar production was like just in everything, I'm sure it was a very tasty, flavorful cookie. But I come from a world of Chips Ahoy where there's so much flavor in everything that a macaron no longer satisfies indulgent.
I like how light they are. I like how light and airy a macaroon is with maybe like a tiny bit of jam in the middle. Yeah. Because I don't want a big cookie. It's too much for me.
Oh, yeah.
Makes me feel.
I mean, that's fair. Sugar gives me a headache a little queasy. So quickly. I'm a salt girl. You know, we've discussed
We're both salt girls, I think.
We'd rather have a big old bag of jerky.
I like pretzels. Give me a big bag of pretzels.
I like cheesy chips because they're like cheddar flavor, but like, let's face the facts. It's really salt flavor with like a little bit of cheese. I like a salty cheese. Well, but I guess my palate's too spoiled for macarons.
It could be, but not for our friend Macaroon, the Whip Scorpion.
No.
We like him.
Because the aesthetic of the macaroon can't be beat. The little foot, the round top, you can put little stamps of things on top of that cookie.
They're cute.
Little sandwich.
They're very cute.
The cutest. I saw heart-shaped ones for Valentine's Day.
Oh, I hope you had a nice Valentine's Day. This is our after Valentine's Day.
Like so many things French, the aesthetic can't be beat. The way it looks, absolutely flawless. But the taste itself, nothing for me.
Nothing. That's fair. Nothing. So you would rather the Whip Scorpion macaroon than an actual...
Method. Honestly, probably because like he's got things going on there, you know, because it also I think it's also one of those old cookies that like if you try to mess with it too much, the purists are like, this is no longer a macaroon then. I think there's also a difference between a macaron and a macaroon, and I don't know what that difference is. I think it's something about coconut, but I could be wrong.
I believe coconut is involved in one of them.
And I'm sure that there's someone listening to this podcast going absolutely crazy that I keep like
saying
mixing
the wrong thing.
Macaroon and macaron.
I don't know how much the macaroon talk's gonna make it.
Well, that's fair. Okay, that's fair. But I'm just saying. Well, you know, you've tangented me on all things French as we usually do.
I didn't mean to. I really was just asking for what flavor macaroon you liked.
And then... I don't. It's fine. I wouldn't turn one down if someone like politely offered me one. I'd take it. I've eaten them. It's not like I'm like, disgusting.
How dare you?
Get that French cookie away from me. Let's talk about what our fella should look like here.
Oh, yeah.
I've not even started. Bidet.
What aesthetic would you give a superhero based on the Whip Scorpion? General shape. What are you thinking? And then I'll start giving you the life history about them.
Based on name only, Indiana Jones. But that's just because of the word whip has come up.
You think he's got a good sense of humor like Indiana Jones?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely being directed by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, because he's friendly and kind of cute. He could be a Spielberg direction. Yeah,
but not without gravitas, which is the hardest thing to pull off, is a funny but still serious movie, which no one really pulls off the way that Steven Spielberg has.
Yeah,
I feel like the art of the funny action movie has been lost a little bit.
Yeah, I miss that. I will tell you, though, what they do pull off and what is very Indiana Jones is, you want to talk a little, I think we should talk a little bit about how the males do with the ladies.
Wah, 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 wah.
Now that the episode after Valentine's Day.
Speaking of.
So they have on average a 13-hour courtship.
Oh, pardon moi? 13 hours? 13. When you're a bug and you don't live that long, that's days.
Well, the nice thing for vinegaroons is they can live for about 7 to 9 years in the wild.
Oh, they'll live
longer in captivity. I've seen people on that arachnoboard, so they had like 12-year-old vinegaroons. So nice bug pets if you're looking for something long-lived.
Yeah, as we've discussed before, part of the problem with bug pets is that sometimes they're only in their like peak form for like
sometimes going for 6 months, yeah, or less.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, I spent all this time growing this beautiful moth that will die in 48 hours.
No, these guys are living for several years, and the whole courtship to mating process is 13 hours.
Wow.
Very
I'm assuming this is including some sort of ritualistic.
Oh, yeah. So there's four parts. Yeah, four parts for this. One, the first part is called Chase and Grapple.
Okay. Playing hard to get.
The male will confront the female, and I think confront.
What a word choice!
The right word.
I am.
And they grab the females by the pedal palps, which are the smaller parts of the front, and they'll start a bit of a wrestling match. Maybe one adult will lift the other off the ground. That happens on occasion. They are strong. Yeah, the pinchums or the pedopalps. I just can't believe. I watched a couple videos of this, and it's really kind of comical, the sort of standoff that's happening here. And if she's receptive, she'll just kind of let him grab her antenniforms. And remember, again, the antenniforms are those long feelers in the front. And he wants to hold them in the pinchums. And or actually, he wants to hold them in the chelicerae, which are the mouth parts. And if not, they will continue to struggle for several hours before they finally give up and realize this is not a match. But a full wrestling match for hours.
Are you sure? Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Please let me go. Are you sure?
Sometimes you got to learn. When someone says no thank you, it means no thank you.
No thank you. Move on. Let it go. Go through the healing process.
Find someone.
Mourn the relationship that never was.
Yeah.
And then move on to your life.
Find the lady vinegaroon that's for you. Because this one is not for
you.
That's all.
The right person for you will enthusiastically partner with you.
Yeah. And let you grab their antenna forms.
And let you all up in their biz. Okay? Because... This whole play hard to get nonsense. Don't do it.
No.
If they're playing hard to get, don't get.
They're not interested. Say,
okay.
No, thank you.
And if they change their mind later, they wanted you to fight with them. Do you want to play those games for your whole life? No.
No. Vinegaroon.
Enthusiastically partnered. Only.
Listen. Yeah. Once the female has said yes, and this is a good partnership, the male will keep kind of holding her antenna forms, and then they will start to dance.
That's so sweet. I love when they do stuff like that.
They face each other and he leads, and they kind of do this back and forth motion where they're dancing. It looks like dancing, while they're looking for somewhere to kind of like hide to get on with the actual mating process. But super cute. I love when bugs dance with each other. I don't think, have we ever talked about jumping spiders and how the males like do a little dance? Because that's very cute.
Spiders have come up in the dance conversation often. Yeah. Because they've got some real good dances.
They've got moves.
Birds and spiders. Really cornering the market on the dance.
Oh, yeah. So they'll dance for a little while. And then the next step is called generating. And this is because the male needs to create what's called a spermatophore, which is just like a package.
Right.
We've discussed before. Yeah. Which it's not the
way. I don't love.
You're not a fan.
It's not my favorite thing. I understand the practicality of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in many ways, it might be preferable, honestly, to the way mammals do it.
But it takes
more time.
It takes him 6.5 hours just to do this. So she
has heard on this before.
She has to sit there and she will wait next to him for this to happen 6.5 hours on average.
As he weaves his baskets.
Yeah. It takes a long time. And then when it's ready, he puts it on the ground and he helps her like be positioned over it so that it's called a gonopore. You can just think about that. I hope this isn't a kid's show, but I hope this isn't too graphic. The gonopore is like the genital opening for the female. So she'll just kind of like lower herself on it and they will wait and hang out. And then that's called, the final stage is called pressing. This to me is very weird. The weird part where he moves over on her and then strokes that packet, which is supposed to stimulate movement. And it takes 7 hours. 7 hours. What are you doing?
Guys.
It's a long, boring. It must be so boring. So boring.
I mean, this is like a whole medical procedure happening here. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Most of the time when we think about insect mating, we think it's a very fast process. Something really quick because you don't want to be vulnerable to predators. Yeah, you don't want to be edible during this time. So for these guys to be doing this for 13 or so hours is really kind of fascinating. And part of that is because they're hiding while this is going on. They're in a burrow. They're hopefully safe.
They're going to secondary locations.
Yeah.
Horrible choice. Never do that.
She's doing a Sudoku for 7 hours. It's fine.
She's working on her Candy Crush score. Yeah. It's fine.
I hope they have a whole library in that burrow because that's a long time to be kind of doing nothing. But then she's got fertilized eggs. And she is another good mom. I know you love a good bug mom, Amanda.
I love a good mom.
So she takes the eggs and she lays them. Wait, you're laughing. What's going on?
I'm looking at my picture. I tried to give him an Indiana Jones hat. He just looks like he's a member of a jazz band. But, you know, it's fine.
How do you... You could fix that.
I'll have to make it a little less... Jazzy fedora.
Jazzy? Yeah.
It's a little too jazzy.
It's going to be a little more rugged, I think.
Yes.
Than jazzy.
I'll add some dirt onto it. There, that'll make it more.
So she creates an egg sac, which she carries under her abdomen, which we've talked about with wolf spiders. They create the egg sac and they carry it. But she will keep this egg sac for about 2 or so months and she doesn't eat. She only focuses on keeping that egg sac off the ground the whole time.
Impressive that they're so long-lived then, because oftentimes it feels like when the mom stops eating to care for the babies, that's it for mom. She's outie.
Yeah. Well,
you know, like, that's why octopus don't live very long.
She is outie after their first molt. So.
Oh, okay. So they're waiting 9 years to do this.
It's a long process.
Oh, okay.
At least for the species I was looking at. I'm not sure if there are some who can do
results
multiple.
May vary depend on.
But it's pretty amazing. And the young get up on her back and she carries them around for about a month. And like I said, after that first molt, then she usually dies because her job is finished. And the young will go off and kind of do their own thing. And at this, when they hatch, they're white. little tiny white guys.
Yeah, sometimes they're like that. Like,
yeah,
little arachnids and stuff are always that little like
white. Because they're not hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like they're just fingernail colored. Toughened up.
They're like the face hugger from Alien. They're that kind of like color.
Yeah.
And then after that first molt, they kind of look like tiny adults. They're black or they're brown. They come in. They're either black or brown. They don't come in a lot of colors. Likely again because they're nocturnal. You don't need
right. You don't want to. You don't want to be like you know chartreuse.
In yeah. The you don't want fancy stripes. You know unless it's going to help you blend in. And then they're out and they're eating and they're doing their thing. They eat anything smaller than them. They've also been known to eat small lizards, which is kind of interesting. So they're hungry boys and girls. But they're, again, for me, it's always fascinating to see parental care in these small animals, which I don't think Indy would be very good at.
No, historically, he's been very bad at. Yeah. Depending on which movies you count as canon. Because for some people, there's only three movies. So. Never got to see him. Although he's very good with Short Round in number two.
Yeah. Yeah, he was nice to him. And
that one is
fatherly, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure I call him father. But he has like a mentor relationship with him.
Yeah.
I don't believe he shows up in the recently released five. But how – this is part of what bothers me about sequel work is like you've set up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep doing that. You can't just make a new movie, but this time Indiana Jones does blah, blah, blah. Like, if you're going to –
yeah, there's a world.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And I just don't understand how people are like, okay, we're going to make Kelly and Amanda 2, and this time they're airline pilots. I'm like, but you set up all this stuff in one. It doesn't make any sense that they're airline pilots. And it bothers me that – I get why they did it in one, because one is technically after – two, because two is a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know what was going to happen in two yet because they were making one.
Yeah.
But there's no reason they shouldn't at least give a shout out in three about what that kid is up to. Because Indy takes him at the end of two, right?
I think so.
Like, or at least had a near-death experience with this kid. The kid yells, "I love you, Dr. Jones," to him. Like, they formed a bond. Like, just have a shout out where it's like, you know, the dad's there, Sean McConnery, and he's like, "Oh, how are you doing? I'm Sean McConnery." And Indiana Jones can be like, "Oh, I'm doing good. I'm just reading my letter from my adopted Asian son." You know, like, how hard would that have been?
Yeah.
Not hard at all. But, Sean Connery.
Sean Connery, not Sean O'Connelly.
Did I say O'Connelly? That's very funny. You'd be so mad.
You made me have second thoughts about what his name was.
No, it's definitely Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
But yeah, how hard would it have been to have a little shout out to his?
Yeah, just something small. Oh, he's in school. He's in college now, or whatever.
Right. I got him. Because it's been a while. You know, I got him a scholarship to my alma mater or whatever.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. I have not seen the new Indiana Jones.
I've not seen the new one, Dial of Destiny, which I hear is good. I hear that it's back into the flavor of the original trilogy.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Whereas four got the taste profile wrong. Yes. But they got the taste right, I guess. So, but I haven't seen five. I do mean to. Yes. My son loves Jungle Adventures, but we haven't considered him old enough to watch Indiana Jones yet because it's
a little guy. Yeah.
It starts off strong with like people getting ensnared in traps.
Yeah, there's a lot
in not nice ways, you know. And of course, number one ends with people becoming unalived in spectacular fashions. So.
Yeah, not good for a little guy.
Yeah, he's not quite ready to watch Nazis melt. Yeah. He's not there. Okay.
He'll be there eventually, one day.
Yes, but I'm very excited for him because he loves the idea. We like reference it a lot. Like, he has the whip that plays the song. He loves the song.
Oh, cute. Well, the song's great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they don't do movie themes. The way they, that's so old of me to say, like, oh, back in my day.
Was that actually, John Williams?
I believe it is John Williams. Yeah. I just can't imagine Steven Spielberg working with anyone else. Yeah. Maybe that's just my John Williams bias.
Well, how is our vinegaroon?
No, okay, so let's see. I've given him a jazzy hat. Mm-hmm. I've given him a whip because, of course, he's in kind of that classic-y Indiana Jones pose where he's got the whip and it's whipping behind him. So, but right now he's just a dude. I need more powers for him to play on here.
So he's got the acid spray. I don't know how you would show that.
Squirt gun full of acid. Let's think. Acid spray. The question is, do we want him to be
a little bottle of apple cider vinegar?
He's about to put it on something. The question is, I guess, is if this hero is powered or if he uses devices.
I would say he probably uses devices.
All right, then
he's like a Tony Stark.
All right,
or a Batman, if you will.
Yes, he's an adventurer, so he's adventurer. Yeah. So if he on our friend the vinegaroon, why can't I say it?
Just think of vinegar and then a rune.
Vinegaroon.
Yeah.
Or
a whip scorpion or Grampus.
On Grampus here, Dr. Grampus.
Dr. Grampus is his name.
Dr. Macaroon Grampus.
Dr. M. Grampus.
That's like a third movie reveal that his first name is Macaroon. On Dr. Grampus, out of his rear end, right? So you don't want to do that. So I'll give him like an arm thing
where he like a little So we've got acid spray, those strong pinchers. I don't know how we would show pinchers in an adventurer.
Yeah, they're such an important part of his whole look. So let's give him a utility belt.
I like it.
That has pinchers on it. For all of his all of his archaeology.
Yeah, so I really like vinegaroons. I think sometimes the problem with the theme, I wouldn't say a problem, but the challenge of the theme of our podcast is sometimes we're talking about really cool bugs and they just make a difficult superhero. You know, it's hard to depict. You can say what powers they have.
Part of the joy is like what you come up with.
Yeah.
Like, if I had 4 weeks and 100 sketches, you know, could I come up with something cooler? Probably. But that's not the point.
No, the point is to do this quickly. And we're not getting paid for this. Amanda's not getting paid for her time. So she is a real artist who has to do real work.
I got covers of books to draw. Come on, guys. I gotta say, Pinchums, they always give you villain vibes. I believe this man is a hero.
He's a hero. But he's an absolute.
Something about the Pinchums really, it's intimidating.
Well, I think about the Pinchums and I think about him kind of harassing the ladies a little bit, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's bit of a harasser.
It must be in Temple of Doom when he does the whip around the starlet.
Oh, yeah.
Their back, you know, a little bit of that energy.
We're cheesy, but it's great.
I mean, he picks the wrong girl in some of the movies, so.
Yeah. Isn't there, like, also a huge age difference?
Yeah. Well, because there's always this question, right? In media at large. Like, Sandra Oh, beautiful goddess that she is. In real life, she's 50 years old. But I feel like it's not until very recently that she was playing women out of her 30s. You know?
Yeah. Like, which is good for her because usually it's the other way around. Usually it's like a 28-year-old playing a 40-year-old wife.
Oh, you see that with like high school shows. They're like, oh, here's these high schoolers. Like, that man is easily 28. How is this
32-year-old.
And the teacher's like 3 years older than the kids playing high schoolers. You're like, come on, guys. Please. You know, so like ages in Hollywood are always a little bit weird. Is Indiana Jones the same age as Harrison Ford? Or is Indiana Jones his own age and we're meant to infer that? But if you go by Harrison Ford's age, he's like way older than Marion in the first one, and they kind of have a dialogue where she talks about like, I was just a child, and that people are like, whoa.
Oh boy.
And they clarify it later that she's like, she means she was, you know, 17, 18,
which is a child,
which is a child
to me. Yeah,
he's like in his 20s, so he was this older, cooler dude, you know. And she's all, "You took advantage of me because I was so much younger than you.
I was a kid. Yeah,
I was just a kid." Because it's one of those things where, like, at 17, you feel like an adult, and then you look back at 17-year-olds, and you're like, "Oh, you're a baby. You're a fetus." You know. So,
well, Vinegaroon will make a little bit more classy than that.
Yes. Yeah, well, he tries to wine and dine you first, obviously. He holds your hand for a little while, and you're like, let's not hold hands, actually. And he's like, okay.
It's too early for holding my hands.
Yeah, he goes in for the handhold way too early. He just loves with his whole heart, okay? He can't help that.
I wish the listeners could see Amanda just moved her hand all the way towards the camera as if she were going to grab me through the screen.
I want to virtually hold your hand.
Yes. I would hold your hand, Amanda. It's fine.
Oh, thank you. My hands are a little
consent given.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
My hands are nice and soft now because I used that.
Oh, yes, because of your wolf spider.
Janeiro wolf spider. Yeah. I guess I shouldn't call it that. It's Delicia Drench Body Butter. Not a product of the show. We don't get paid for that. I just happen to have it here in the office because the other episode. Yeah. It smells really good. I'm happy to use it. My hands feel good after putting it on, because right, like I said, it's like 20% humidity in my apartment right now, which
is
unheard of.
You're like a plant.
I'm like a husk. I'm a little husk out here, trying not to desiccate like my friend the bugs. How many out of 8 legs, how many legs would you give Ol' Macaroon? Ol' M. Grampus. Oh, Dr. M. Grampus.
I think he's like the cooler, soft, I don't know, cooler, maybe not cooler, but he's like a softer scorpion. And I can't deny that that body shape is so unique. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. The
pinchers
in front, tail in back, although that's where people tend to keep those things, pinchers in front. I don't know why I'm citing that.
There are usually pinchers in the back.
Sometimes there are, though. We did earwigs. Sometimes they
that's
are.
That's true, yeah.
That. I think they're pretty dang old cool. Not very useful, though. I'd be interested to know if there's any medically relevant.
Oh, medically relevant? No.
Right. Not or really. Are people squeezing the vinegar of vinegar?
God, I hope not.
Under their snacks. They're like, oh, I can't wait to have these salt and vinegaroon chips.
They're making coleslaw for their barbecue. It's
Fun. They're like, wow, this is so unique. So kicky. What'd you use? Well, let me tell you about it.
Listeners, please don't do that.
Please don't milk vinegaroons for your chip needs.
Yeah, boy.
Wait, so should I give him glasses? Because he was so blind.
Oh, he's going to need glasses. Yeah, he can't see anything.
Okay.
Maybe horn-rimmed?
I was thinking aviator, because those are
cool. Ooh, aviator, yeah. They're cooler guy glasses, yeah. Wait, so how many legs?
Oh, I'm sorry, how many legs? I really can't fault him on anything. Out of 8? Okay,
yeah,
I'll give
he's
him
an arachnid, so he gets 8.
Right, that's true. Mm-hmm. Bonus legs.
Bonus.
I'm going to give him a 6 out of 8.
Oh, okay. What are you docking points for?
I just think that he doesn't do anything hardcore enough to get all the way to 8.
He's too soft for you.
He's a little bit, he's cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to harsh his vibe. But like, he needs to be a little bit more hardcore. If you like if he exploded vinegar, then I'd be like, oh, 8 out of 8.
He's like Bombardier Beetle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But he just like, hey, get away from me. See you. I don't know. Maybe I'll go maybe 7. Out of 8.
Don't let me change your score. I was just trying to get clarification.
Something's not. I mean, when you're working with narratives, you must work in the extremes.
Hmm.
People don't behave the way they do in narratives the way they would in real life, because you have to get to the drama of the
thing. Right, right.
Because mm-hmm. so many plot points hinge on two people don't have a discussion about something they would obviously talk about. You know, and you're like, come on, guys.
Which makes me insane. When I'm watching something. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this could have been easily avoided.
Conversation. Like, oh, I overheard you in the room talking about how you want to light me on fire. I was like, well, that's not what I said at all. If you just had a conversation with me, we could have avoided this whole thing. You know,
so much of the Star Wars prequels could have been avoided had someone just had a conversation with Anakin that was truthful and meaningful.
Exactly.
So much. Yeah.
Or if he just listened to Padme at any point. I love that one meme that's like, oh, the Jedi won't let me be married to you, and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, okay, then quit the Jedi.
Yeah, yeah, and then story over. Yeah,
story done. Let's just go have our twins, and we'll go live in the clouds. It's not like you have to give up your powers when you stop being a Jedi. Yeah, the Force is not Jedi endowed.
Go out and fight crime, too, if you want to.
Which, like, they clearly show with Ahsoka, you know, 20 years later, yeah. But where she's just like, I'm not part of any of this, you know? I'm a free agent.
Yeah, I'm doing my own thing.
I'm doing my own thing because y'all suck.
So six out of eight. I think that's fair. I think I'd probably also give them 6 out of 8. They're not, they're not super unique. We have lots of arthropods that shoot stuff out of their butts, right? That's common. Although I like the dancing. The dancing is very cute.
Yes. That's his adventure.
I don't know if I love the grappling. Like, maybe don't toss her around.
No, maybe his social skills just aren't what they should be.
Yeah, he's a little awkward. I think the sensory perception is very cool. So having the sensory organs on the front, the antenna forms, having that tail or that flagellum in the back, which is also picking up on lots of vibration. So those organs are used to pick up vibration. So you've got like 360 degrees covered of vibrational information coming into your body, which is kind of neat. I think I'd give him a 6 as well.
I'm gonna give him a turtleneck because turtlenecks are cool.
Turtlenecks are cool.
He's kind of become a little bit, if Indiana Jones was also Inspector Gadget.
Oh, okay. Oh, you know what? That kind of works because the pinchums vinegar spray, and they're good diggers. They're excellent at burrowing, which is kind of cool. We watched him move dirt around in that video, which was very cute.
Okay, I'm gonna send him to you. Let's talk about what else he needs. All right, where did I put you? There you are.
All right, let's see. Oh, he's very fun, Amanda. It is quite Indiana Jones-ish. There's a bunch of pinchums hanging off of his belt, and I guess it's that's the vinegar spray on the arm. I love it. It's insane and it's fantastic. And you've really done Dr. M. Grampus. You've given him his due in this.
Great, perfect. I'd let him adventure. He feels a little bit like a cheaply made cartoon made for like 7-year-olds, but that's fine.
It's fantastic. All right, guys, guys, gals, non-binary pals, everybody listening, thank you. Check out Amanda's art on the website. You can see my field notes on the website as well. Find us on everywhere you get your social media, Instagram, Reddit, etc. Send us email. We love listener email, and we love you. So bye.
Bye. Bugs Need Heroes was created by Derek Conrad and Kelly Zimmerman. Hosted by Amanda Allen Knighty and Kelly Zimmerman. Bugs Need Heroes is produced and edited by Derek Conrad, with some assistance from Chelsea Bodden and a few cats. Character art is by Amanda Allen Knighty. Our music is Ladybug Castle by Roll Music. Got a bug question? Email us at bugsneedheroes@gmail.com. Check us out at bugsneedheroes.com, and most of the socials are under Bugs Need Heroes. Thank you to the Entomological Society of America for the Chrysalis Fund grant. Our list of zaddies that grows on the daily.